On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and I hope we're broadcasting. I think we are. Anybody on the in the chat room want to tell me? Yeah, we just had some issues with the server last night, and it knocked us out about an hour and 15 minutes into the program. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Thank you, Tim from L.A. Yes, you are broadcasting loud and clear, says Carol. Lottie says it's working. It's working. Oh, thank God, it's working. Yeah. So hopefully that was just a one-off last night. And tonight will be just hunky-dory and divine. I am pleased to announce that I have ordered the gizmo to bring regular phone calls back on the air. Hopefully, we won't be ready for Friday on the front porch tomorrow, but hopefully it'll be ready in fairly short order. The website is still down. Yes. That presents a number of problems. Ben tells me he hopes to have it back up and running within a couple of days. Anybody who doesn't know, please tell them that they can get to the streams by going to whiterosesociety.org and the subdomain for this program. Let's see. So much to... And of course, the share out the back door to the chat room to anybody who might want it. It's still up there on my Facebook page. Yes, Tim, Ben Birch is awesome. Ben Birch knows individual molecules by name. You know, Bill and Harriet and Anita and Sally, Fred. Yeah. So, but with the website down, it makes it kind of hard to do fundraising. I am proud to announce, however, that thanks to Chris in Germany and thanks to Steve in New York, our buddy Gary Laborman's challenge has been met, and that's why I was able to order the rather expensive gizmo that will allow folks like our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, to participate in Friday on the front porch as soon as that thing comes in and I get it tested and figure out how it works and everything. That's awesome. Now, because the program was foreshortened last evening, that means that, well, that means that Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is still on the table. And that means that Shirley is willing to match the first $200 that come in. And since there's no PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com, You log into PayPal, and when you do the send thing, you use my email address, because it's the same thing the PayPal button's tied to, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and you click sending money to friends and family, and that way you don't pay the transfer fees. Cool? Have we got that? Yeah, I know, it's just... And hopefully this will not continue into next week. By the way, you know, we try to raise $150 in any given evening to keep things rolling around here. So if we can meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge this evening, that will take care of yesterday and today. First $200 get doubled. Cool, huh? A little program announcement. I don't know how many of you know this, but I hope you will share it far and wide, that over at All In with Chris Hayes on MSNBC, all next week, there will be a feature. Many of you already know about it. All in America, coal country, or coal. And I had a little bit to do with the production of that piece. And I hope everybody will tune in all week long, because it's going to be fascinating. The work Chris and his crew do is nothing short of excellence. I think you could probably move Chris just, you know, right over to the NBC nightly news desk and never skip a beat. Might even get better. Probably would. So that's all next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on MSNBC. Tell the friends and neighbors, kitties and cousins, aunts and uncles. Now, where were we when we were so technically interrupted yesterday evening? Well, yesterday was of course, prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got most of the prayer meeting material out. So, at least we did that. This, however, is Thorn in the Side Thursday. It is reserved for the right-wingery that just makes us go, dolt! Right? And the one that's got, and I know it's got a lot of people going, and I know I've already mentioned this a couple of times, because this is not getting mentioned for some reason or another in the larger Secret Service story. And that is this. We know now that, and a lot of us have known for some time, that Barack Obama is the single most threatened president in modern history. Death threats against Barack Obama have far exceeded death threats against any other president in living memory, going back to John Kennedy, who also had the right wing in an absolutely apoplectic frenzy. The one that, of all the many Secret Service failures, the one that sort of threw me for a loop was the elevator story, where the Secret Service just let a guy on the elevator with the President of the United States. Yeah, come on, buddy. And he stood there shooting cell phone video of the president standing in an elevator. And they asked him to stop, and he wouldn't. They asked him again, and he wouldn't. And then they realized that they had let a guy on the elevator with the President of the United States, who was carrying a concealed weapon, who had, in fact, a rap sheet. He is also, of course, a government contractor, whatever that means. Because it can mean a lot of things these days. Government contractor can mean armed-to-the-teeth mercenary. It can also be some guy who works on phones. Some person. Apparently, it can also mean man with a gun and criminal convictions who gets on an elevator with the President of the United States. And there seems to be some degree of surprise at all of these failings. Maybe other people can't say this sort of thing for fear of people thinking they're all Alex Jonesy. Maybe that's it. But I'm not a journalist. And I can just kind of throw stuff out there for our consideration. And what I would like for us to consider is that way back before any of this stuff broke, because there's been lots of coverage of, say, the Colombian escapade. And, but no mention, going all the way back to the earliest days of the Obama presidency and even the Obama candidacy, no mention of the fact that racist emails were circulating among Secret Service agents way back. How many people know that a group of Secret Service agents who happen to be African American filed a class action lawsuit against the Secret Service with a claim that they were systematically passed over for promotions because racism is so thoroughly embedded inside the Secret Service? That was all the way back in the year 2000, Moore versus Chertoff was in play. The plaintiffs claimed that black agents were given lower quality, less dignified assignments than did Secret Service coworkers who were white folks. And that there was also a culture of misogyny and sexism. And that female workers had been overlooked and passed over for promotion in favor, to the point that it became, you know, a thing. Passed over by mostly white males for promotion. I submit that there is a serious problem inside the Secret Service that the Secret Service would probably not have were the President of the United States not melanin enhanced. I'm trying to find the story here. And not having a whole lot of luck. Oh, there it is. There it is. Yeah, this is, okay, so this goes back to May 13th, 2008, candidate Obama. This was a supervisor in the Secret Service. Let's see. Way back when, the New York Times had the story. May 10th, 2008. Secret Service supervisors shared crude sexual jokes and engaged in racially derogatory banter about blacks and passed around an anecdote about a possible assassination of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. The Times, David Johnston of the Times writing, "The messages offer a glimpse into the darker recesses of an agency known for protecting presidents," yada, yada, yada. The disclosure of the messages follows an incident last month in which a noose was found in a room used by a black instructor at a Secret Service training facility in Beltsville, Maryland. These were emails sent inside the government email system, of course. Let's see. In some of the court documents, the senders of the email messages are identified only by the jobs they currently occupy and the rank they held when the messages were sent. For example, October 9th, 2003, a message referring to a Harlem spelling bee ridiculing black slang was sent by Thomas Grupski, then Assistant Director for Protective Operations, who, according to the filing, now heads, and now being 2008, heads the Office of Government Liaison and Public Affairs. March 3rd, 2003, another message describing Reverend Jackson as the Righteous Reverend was circulated among a number of Secret Service supervisors. The message was about a missile striking an airplane in which Mr. Jackson and his wife were traveling, concludes, "Certainly wouldn't be a great loss, and it probably wouldn't be an accident either." Then there was a joke about interracial sex. That was sent by Donald White. Donald White, at the time, was the head of the Presidential Protective Detail. He sent it to Kurt Douglas. Kurt Douglas! Who was in charge of the Secret Service office in Cincinnati. This was all revealed as part of the discrimination suit that I mentioned earlier. In all of this Secret Service kerfuffle, not much mention of that I've been able to find. Of course, you know, I'm not like News Ninja Gene and get up and read the entire internet every day, but there's a problem. Are you aware, for instance, and this is one of those moments when we'll be talking about talking about a cartoon on the radio. Are you aware of the editorial cartoon by Jerry Holbert, who is the staff cartoonist at the Boston Herald, which is a viciously, virulently right-wing birdcage liner? Dealing with the intruder in the White House, it purports to show President Obama in his striped jammies, brushing his teeth, and lo and behold, there's a strange white guy sitting in a tub of suds in the bathtub behind him. Who in the cartoon is in the process of soaping his left armpit. The dialogue balloon says, as he speaks to President Obama, "Have you tried the new watermelon flavored toothpaste?" watermelon. Now, this cartoonist is, I read earlier today, in excess of 50 years old. He proffered the lame-ass excuse that he just came up with it because he saw watermelon-flavored toothpaste in his own bathroom because that's what his kids use. Or something. There is no way that an editorial cartoonist who is working for a right-wing paper in Boston doesn't know what the ramifications are of such an analogy. Please. We were born at night, not last night. And I will raise again the issue that I'm the only one who's raised it, because I guess I'm the only old DJ out there, that I've felt a sense of dread when they announced what the code names would be, when the Secret Service announced the code name for the new president of the United States, Renegade. Because that was announced somewhat shortly after the racist email stories popped. And it's a song about a lynching. The jig is up. The news is out. They've finally found me. You renegade, you had it made. For a bounty. I don't want to go astray. This will be the end today of the wanted man. There's another line in there about how the hangman's coming for me. Yeah. So I find it no surprise whatsoever that there is an institutional culture inside the Secret Service that is behaving more like the Praetorian cohort. You know, they became emperor makers back in the day. They took Caligula out. They also took Nero out. I think they took Commodus out and a whole bunch of other emperors. Oh, sorry about that. Usually try to mute for that. Tim from L.A. with an email. Hey, Bob, let that Kenyan Muslim get a concealed carry permit so the old renegade can protect his own self. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Ron and Raleigh. Yeah. Wolverines! Wolverines. Yes. Yeah, see, Steve's already ahead of the game here. That man on the elevator, Steve writes, no. Bob, that was not a gun. That was a freedom protector. He's just trying to protect freedom by threatening the president. And Steve closes writing, Wolverines! Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, Carol. Question coming from Carol. Why didn't the pricks just change it to Trayvon? Meaning the president's code name. And then there's this, also unmentioned thus far, that had the Secret Service come out and made a big stink about a guy with a gun in the elevator with the president of the United States, the NRA would have promptly issued a press release, and so would Mitch McConnell, and so would every other Republican, birther, deather, tenther, booger-eater, libertarian, bircher in the country. Obama's gun-grabbing policies take freedom from another American. Why did the Secret Service disarm a perfectly upstanding American citizen who could, had there been an attack on the president, have been part of his defense? The Second Amendment is a precious, precious right guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. And not even the President of the United States can invalidate our rights for when the jackbooted government, or maybe ISIL, or maybe both at the same time, put their jackboots on our throats. Come on, you can hear it now, can't you? Sure. I think you're right, Irish Dave. Irish Dave asking, isn't the Weird Herald of Boston a Rupert-owned rag? Also, too, don't you have to spit the watermelon seeds out and the blahs are too lazy and shiftless for... Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Irish Dave also noting that a contractor was using both the Second and First Commandments, protecting the right to video freely. Yo, this is just nasty. Oh, by the way, going back to my mention of the All in America Coal series coming up next week on MSNBC, Steve pointing out, I am not a mainstream media fan, but we really need to give Chris Hayes some props for covering more Appalachia in the last year than anyone on a national level has in the last 15. And that's the truth. Next week, by the end of next week, MSNBC and Chris Hayes in particular will have devoted more airtime to the issue, the human rights issue of mountaintop removal in Appalachia than any other mainstream broadcast operation. It's kind of why I'm proud to be associated with that feature. Because after all, the Horn, which you support, has devoted more time to discussing mountaintop removal and the human rights consequences of it than any other broadcast outlet on the planet. So maybe it's kind of a force multiplier. Let's see. A little bit of local news, if I may. Just happened to catch this. You know what the journalism term is, buried lead, right? That's where the hot part of a story actually winds up two or three paragraphs down in the story. Well, this is not a story of a buried lead. This is a story of a buried story. It was in yesterday's Charleston Gazette. You can find the story probably over at wvgazette.com. And here we are. It will soon be exactly 9 months. In another week, it will be exactly 9 months since the Freedom disaster, in which 300,000 people got poisoned. Because we don't dare regulate industries that are affiliated with, you know, Co. Turns out there's been a lawsuit filed in Kanawha County, West Virginia Circuit Court. The lawsuit has been filed by a woman who says that she was terminated in a retaliatory fashion from her job at Charleston Area Medical Center, more particularly the Memorial Division on the south side of the Kanawha River. General is on the north side, as is Women's and Children's. Charleston Area Medical Center is the largest hospital complex in the state of West Virginia, and it is affiliated with the West Virginia University School of Medicine. The plaintiff in the case says that back on January 9th and the days following, when the do not use, and remember, the do not use order was only issued at about 4:30, 5:30 in the afternoon after people had already been exposed to and consuming this toxic filth for the better part of a day, or maybe days. We don't really know. I mean, you know. What? We expect the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection to actually protect? Please! Put down the pipe. But anyway, the do not use order went out, and the do not use order was along the lines of informing people to pretty please, for their own good, don't use the tap water from West Virginia American Water Company, a for-profit enterprise devoted to shareholder profits. Don't use that stuff for anything except flushing the toilet. Don't bathe in it. Don't cook with it. Don't drink it. Don't wash the baby. None of that. So the order went out. That order, the order should have been shut down the entire system, because we know now that even using it for flushing meant that the fumes of the stuff were still getting into people's homes and businesses and churches and senior centers and et cetera, et cetera. And if you recall the almost 4 week long hissy that I had on the air, I can't even remember what else was happening in January of 2014, because it's all we talked about. It's all I could talk about. I apologize. I guess it means that I was somewhat less than professional, but God, 300,000 people got poisoned. And the governor of the state of West Virginia said, well, it's a personal decision for y'all whether you want to drink it or not. Oh, no shit. He said that. So there was a do not use order. And that do not use order was in place everywhere. And I remember in talking about the story saying, think about the poisoned water being used to mop down surgical suites in the hospitals. Ding, 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 ding. Because the essence of this civil lawsuit is that even after the do not use order was issued, janitorial and maintenance and housekeeping staff inside CAMC Memorial Hospital were told to continue to use the poisoned water for everything except patient drinking needs. They continued to wash dishes with the poisoned water. They continued to wash silverware with the poisoned water. They continued to mop floors with the poisoned water. They ran the dishwasher with the poisoned water, the sterilizer with the poisoned water. All this at the same time that hundreds of people were going to the hospital with symptoms, and the governor of the state of West Virginia, Gert, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, Gert responded by saying, well, don't everybody panic. Hell, it's January. It's flu season. Most of these people just probably got the flu. The woman claims, the plaintiff claims, that she took her concerns to the housekeeping human resource management, and she was ignored. Then she took it to the physicians, and then she was canned. They told her that she was canned because she had too many sick days and missed too much work. And oddly enough, that didn't seem to be a reason to can her before she mentioned the fact that even though the entire 300,000 human being nine-county area had been told not to use the damn water, the hospital was still using it. She claims that the orders were out, that bottled water was only to be used for patient drinking. I mean, after all, we've got to keep costs down, right? You can see why this is a problem for Charleston Area Medical Center. They will hire the meanest, nastiest, scariest, cruelest, most conscienceless lawyers they can find to defend this lawsuit. Because if a jury, tried and true, gets this case and goes into its jury room, considers the evidence, and returns a verdict in favor of the plaintiff, oh, sure, the plaintiff might get some sort of compensatory damages. You know, it's chump change. It's a few thousand dollars. Tops. But if there is a judicial finding that CAMC used that poisoned water to wash dishes, mop floors, etc., 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 the barn door is going to swing wide open for every single individual who came in contact with that hospital over the period of time that we're talking about to file their own lawsuit. Everything from medical malpractice, remember the doctors were told about this and the doctors had her canned. Everything from medical malpractice to toxic tort exposure claims. What about the working people? What about the people in the hospital kitchens who had, because see, it only got worse when you heated it up. Remember all the stories of the school cooks being taken home sick because of the fumes? So it's almost exactly 9 months since the Freedom disaster, and we are still reaping a bitter harvest from it. And here's the reality is, this is a harvest that's really going to get reaped 10, 15, 20 years from now. This is a state where when 29 men got incinerated in a gassy hole, one of the people interviewed, I believe by CNN, said, "Well, we always knowed it was a dangerous business." Truth in that, but the fatalism, man, I think you'd probably have to go to Gaza to find something equal or comparable. And over the course of this last century plus, you know, tens of thousands of people in Central Appalachia have died for coal company profits. To the point that this state revels in its misery. In this state, it is not unusual to hear someone say, "Coal is our heritage." If I had some sort of like GoPro camera attached to my little ball cap, and hooked up to the interweb tubes, I could get in the car, drive 2 miles down the road, go into the Rippy Mart, and show you, and buy even, a T-shirt that says, "About all I know is mining coal." people in this state have been blasted, maimed, gassed, asphyxiated, burnt up, crushed, buried alive, widowed, orphaned, for over 100 years. And now, after 100 years, they say things like, well, coal is our heritage. So here's the really disgusting, dysfunctional part of the freedom disaster. That bitter harvest I talked about being reaped 10, 15 years from now, it will be. And when people start dropping from unknown bizarre-ass cancers, brain tumors, whatnot, there will be an element in this state who will say, well, man, Devin was right there with me. Devin just sent me a private message. Death is our heritage. I was going to say, well, getting poisoned is our heritage. That's why we's put on this here planet. I tell you. Nah, Devin, you know, Devin's right. Ours is not to question why. Ours is but to mine and die. I don't know what this state would do if we didn't have some sort of godforsaken extractive industry constantly oppressing us. Jesus, man. We might get normal. I mean, of course, normal's only a setting on a dryer. I also saw another story, and maybe there's more important stuff to talk about out there, but we'll get to that. That's why we do conversation radio. One other thing. West Virginia is third from the bottom behind only Mississippi and North Carolina Stan in teacher salaries. Mm-hmm. Anybody surprised at that? We don't need good teachers in West Virginia. Every now and then we luck out and get some. But we don't need good teachers in West Virginia. We got coal. What the hell does a kid need to know about the pathos of young love in Romeo and Juliet, or the existential questions of whether to live or die in Hamlet? Or the examinations of untrammeled greed run rampant in Macbeth. What he needs to know, that kid, is how to be a roof bolter. And there ain't no room in no coal mine for no navel gazing. We don't need no damn physics taught in West Virginia schools. We need people taught how to crawl around on their knees and waller on their bellies in wet holes and dig in 2 foot coal. That's what we need. We need blasting technicians. We need people who know how to load a charge, you know, enough charges to equal maybe a 22 or 23 or 25 Tomahawk cruise missiles and make a mountain go boom. We don't need students studying science. They might, they might discover that we've been getting poisoned for 125 years. Daggum teachers need to shut up about being underpaid and be glad they're being paid at all. Exactly, Carol. We defund education in West Virginia. You have to keep the masses stupid. They're easier to control that way. And I am getting physically It feels like physically ill. I am certainly getting furiously angry with every godforsaken ad that runs on television. This is a state in the midst of a monstrous health crisis. This is also a state with some tens of thousands of people who now have health care who have never had it before, you know, thanks to that one in their White House. But we do. We have terrible health problems in mountaintop removal communities. We have existential crises in our youth. Because there's nothing here. The coal mines used to at least draw some, provide some labor, job opportunities. You know, not getting killed is really the key to the benefits plan. But even that's going away, and no, it has nothing to do with Obama's war on coal. What's left is fast food, Walmart, and the poverty draft into the military. I know a little bit about that reality because I have an 18-year-old son who's trying to figure out what in the world to do with his life. Used to have ambitions. I think he still does. But precious few outlets for them. I remember watching the look on his face as he sat there receiving his Golden Horseshoe Award. I've told this story before. And then Governor Joe Manchin was talking about how these young students are the future of West Virginia. And you know, West Virginia means coal. We're going to need more coal miners. We're going to need more nurses. Now that wind and solar, that may be good someday. But that wind and solar, that's the fuel of the future, 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 future. But right now, America needs West Virginia coal. I can remember it as if I still had the marks on my arm from where Agnes kind of dug in as we were sitting there in the Cultural Center auditorium. She kind of dug in on the arm and said, "Not a word. Stay sitting down." And seeing Ferg sitting up there on the stage, only like 1% of eighth graders get this award, and seeing him sitting up there just going red in the face with all that coal is, and so now he's trying to figure out what to do with his life, and he's trying to answer existential questions about what it means to be 18 years old in West Virginia and no economy whatsoever. I have these little ideas. And I'll just throw this one out there for any of the millionaires who are listening. Oh, Mr. Musk, Mr. Soros, we need lots of wind and solar all over the country. You know, those massive turbines are out there all over the Midwest and out in California and even down in Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota. We need a lot. There are even a few here, but we need a lot more. We need solar panels on houses. And I have come up with a company name. Oh, I'm proud of myself. Appalachian Solar. Only we're going to spell it S-O-U-L-A-R. Yeah, got it, right? Appalachian Solar. I kind of like the ring of it. We got to have some big doings here. because this state and this region have been the canary in America's coal mine for over 100 years. And it is not fair, and it is not right, and it is downright immoral to start moving into a reliable energy future and just leave this region behind again. Because we've got hopelessly shitty political representatives. That's another phrase I came up with. The political candidates in West Virginia, especially for the big-time offices, are nothing but monsters of ambition. So we can talk about any of that or anything else that you want to talk about. Just got some breaking news from Robert in Morgantown, and this is disturbing. It would be nice if there was some sort of a an angle, but no. Thursday, October 2nd, 2014, 6:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Appeals court, Texas can start closing abortion clinics immediately. The federal appeals court Thursday allowed Texas to immediately begin enforcing tough new abortion restrictions that will effectively close all but seven abortion facilities in America's second most populous state. A panel of the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans stayed a lower judge's ruling while it considers the overall constitutionality of key portions of Texas' sweeping 2013 abortion law, which Republican Governor Rick Perry and other conservatives say is designed to protect women's health. When, in fact, Rick Perry and the rest of the Repig Lickens know less about women's health than a rootin' hog does about a silver tea service. Now, there's your activist court. They could have let the stay remain in place. They're still considering whether or not the law is constitutional. But instead, they lifted the stay so that by the time, even if they decide the law is unconstitutional, the damage will have been done. That is how an activist court works. Yeah. Note coming in from Steve. Thank you. He said, I ain't nobody special, but if I can help with your son's career stuff, I'll help if I can. Note coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan. Subject line, Upper Big Branch Mining Disaster Serendipity in Kansas Stan. Hi, Bob. I'm reporting some coherent serendipity coming out of Kansasstan. Today I had the business librarian at Kansas State University come to my corporate social responsibility class to show my students how to search for case information using our library's databases. For an hour, she showed my students how to search for company and government information using the Upper Big Branch mining disaster as an example. Ooh. Oh, the god. Hmm. The goddess has found the little apple. Diane says, I swear to all the totems that exist that I had no idea that she was going to use this example. She and I have never discussed it. I'll probably follow suit and assign the case to one of my student groups to present later this semester. This is coherent serendipity, but not marvelous, given the tragic nature of this case. Signed, Diane in Kansas Stan, striving to be marvelously coherent. And there's Steve drawing lines between dots. Subject line, protecting woman's health. See, just like that man in the elevator was protecting Obama. Hey, God. So, we got enough here to work with for the time being, right? You want to get in on, we had a call a minute ago, but I wasn't done with the filibuster, and got to it. But if you want to get involved in the conversation, you are more than welcome to join in right after the break. Irish Dave pointing out, by closing them Texas Planned Parenthood clinics, will Jimmy Dick be able to restore Joan Rivers to life? Well, it'll just make... I can't. And then there's the Ebola thing. So yeah, let's take a break. It being Thursday, the second day of October, we have the Green News Report. With Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Jump into the conversation by going Skype to Skype to Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, or email to BobKincaid@gmail.com. BobKincaid@gmail.com is also the address you use if you want to join in on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. No takers yet. You can double your $5 to $10. You can double your $10 to $20. You can double your $25 to $50, your $50 to $100, or your $100 to $200. Or if you just want to be the one person who throws $200 out there, you can double your money that way, too. The first $200 that come in get doubled by Shirley, who jumps in at the first of every month. Thank you, Shirley. And, we got over our financial crisis. Thank you. And here we are in our ninth anniversary month. And we could take care of yesterday and today's fundraising by meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. But the challenge has to be met in order for the, you see how. All right, break time. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Let the conversation commence. I'm Bob Kincaid.
No. It's Thursday, October 2, 2014.
And so we should not be aligned with such people. They're just literally lying.
The tide turns against climate change deniers as even Rupert Murdoch dumps right-wing policy front group ALEC.
Viewers and readers want to know, what do you believe about climate change? And what, if anything, will you do about it?
Climate change is now a defining campaign issue. 35,000 walruses start their own climate march in Alaska. Plus, the tide turns against coal. Huge Canadian coal mine sells for just $2.
Yeah, but is that U.S. or Canadian dollars? Makes all the difference. All of those answers and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
That's right. 10,000 Chinese pigeons were anally probed.
I have no idea what that means. This is your Green News Report.
I'm no expert on the Chinese zodiac, but I know whose year it's not.
Okay, Desi Doyen, aside from the shocking news about those Chinese pigeons, you've got quite a few shocking stories today, I think, in our Green News Report.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. The first one, the tide is turning against coal. The Financial Post of Canada reports that a Canadian coal mine bought at the height of coal's popularity for $1 billion, billion with a B, that coal mine is now being sold for the low, low price of just $2. Yeah, you heard that right. Just two U.S. dollars.
Well, I would have paid $5 for it. I can't believe. Was it on eBay or what?
No, but it turns out that coal just isn't that profitable, according to Andrew Moore of Platts Energy.
Coal prices have been down. They're at year-to-date lows currently, despite these really low coal stockpiles, because there's been low electricity demand, as well as natural gas prices that have been relatively low.
So you mean to tell me that all the coal companies that are in trouble are not in trouble because of Obama's war on coal? It's just because nobody wants that stuff anymore?
Kind of, yeah. And remember, those coal state politicians like to say that it's Obama's policies, but this coal mine is in Canada.
Yes, exactly. What part of the free market do you hate, Republicans?
The tide is also turning against global warming denial. Let's go way back, 2 years ago, back to the 2012 presidential election, when the corporate media refused to even mention global warming. This was CNN's Candy Crowley after the final 2012 presidential debate on why she asked no questions about it.
Climate change. I had that question to all you climate change people. We just, you know, again, we knew that the economy was still the main thing, so you knew you kind of wanted to go with the economy.
Yep, all you climate change people.
Yeah, well, what a difference 2 years makes. Climate change is now a defining campaign issue. In Colorado, in the race for the governor's seat, in a debate this week between sitting Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper and the Republican candidate, Congressman Bob Beaupre.
Mr. Beaupre, do you believe humans are contributing significantly to climate change?
No.
Mr. Hickenlooper?
Significantly, yes.
And did you hear that? The audience laughed at the candidate who said no. In Iowa, in a debate for the open U.S. Senate seat between Democratic Representative Bruce Braley and Republican State Senator Joni Ernst.
Viewers and readers want to know, what do you believe about climate change, and what, if anything, will you do about it?
I don't know the science behind climate change. I can't say one way or another, but I do believe in protecting our environment, but without the job-killing regulations that are coming out of the EPA.
And now the climate change question is being asked in nearly every major campaign around the country.
Finally, although I do love that Republicans seem to have settled on something. Oh, yes, the climate is changing. Of course it is. It's always been changing. That seems to be their stock answer now.
Yeah, or they'll say, I don't know enough about it, but they do apparently know enough not to do anything about it. The tide is also turning against ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that right-wing policy front group that pushes global warming denial. It's that awkward moment when your global warming denial is too embarrassing even for Rupert Murdoch. PRWatch.org reports that News Corp, Murdoch's global media company that owns Fox News, is dumping its membership with ALEC just 1 week after Google's CEO Eric Schmidt said about ALEC.
We should not be aligned with such people. They're just literally lying.
Sierra Club executive director Michael Brune says, quote, climate deniers are the new tobacco executives. Nobody wants to be seen with them. Finally, a tide of beached walruses in the Arctic. Stunning photos this week out of Alaska where an estimated 35,000 walruses have taken over an Arctic beach because their preferred habitat, summer sea ice, has all but disappeared. It's one of the biggest onshore beachings of walruses on record, but it's happening to some extent every year since 2007.
They can't find the ice. They need the ice to survive. It's not there, so they're just walking up on the land in Alaska. And a bunch of them are dying in the process.
Yep.
For much more on all of our stories today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please keep in mind that we don't give any money to ALEC either, but we rely on your donations so that we can stay on your public airwaves. Find us and follow us on the Facebook and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, there we are. Sorry, I was doing a little Facebook stuff, answering some questions. People wanting to know what happened to the chat room, what happened. Like I said, I hope the website and everything will be back to normal, that word, by the end of the weekend. That's the goal. Let's see. It's 10 minutes past the hour, and this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, reserved for those things that just really make us want to kick furniture, you know, right-wing things. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Carol. Carol just posted on Facebook. We're leaving the key under the mat. Here's the backdoor key for the Bob Kincaid Show. Come on over. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kelly, if you're listening, go find that. And that's how you can, because, are you in? No, you're not in the chat room yet. Well, hopefully you will be. Come on over. We're having a lovely time in the chat room this evening. Good evening, Anatole and Carol and Devin and John. And Mr. Gibson and R. Kellison and Texas T. And good evening, Tim from L.A. Capably moderated this evening by longtime veteran indefatigable moderators Lottie and Sparky with John Fox is in the chat room, too. So that's awesome. Good to see you, John. Where to go? Well, first of all, if you want to, that was easy. Kelly found the back door key. Yay! Jump into the conversation, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And I will, ouch. Turn the monitors off, Bob, you dummy. I will also mention again that hopefully not tomorrow, Friday on the front porch, but by Friday on the front porch in the fairly immediate future, we will have regular telephony back into the mix so that folks like our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, can participate as well, which will be really, really cool. And thanks for the help in bringing that online. We're still a little bit away from that, but we got enough money to get Gizmo number one, so hopefully we'll get it online and in line and rocking and rolling. Let's go to the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Bob. It's Carl from Western Mass.
Oh, hey, Carl. Good to hear from you.
How's it going?
Pretty good, I think.
What's that?
I said pretty good, I think.
Pretty good. You too. Still working, so I'm in a good mood. Not working right now, but I mean, I'm not laid off yet. But anyways, I just wanted to talk a little bit about gun owners and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I've really thought about what turns on gun owners, what they think about, you know, how they what gets them off. And everybody I know has seen the Christmas, A Christmas Story.
Sure.
You know when little Ralphie, and I don't know, I need a thing to call this. You know when little Ralphie has that little fantasy about getting his gun, and he goes in the backyard and shoots all the
bad guys. Yeah, in the striped pajamas, right?
Yes, that's what the gundamentalists or amosexuals. That's what they that's their fantasy, but more in a grown-up way with slightly more testosterone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also I think they go to bed dreaming about getting the knock on the door and having Barack Obama standing there wanting to take their guns. That's how much they've been, brainwashed into this.
Well, right. I mean, just consider the Secret Service, the President Obama story, Carl. This was like a service elevator at the CDC in Atlanta. Now, why did this freedom protector get into that elevator with the President of the United States, A, and B, why was he carrying a gun on CDC property?
Yes, and with...
Because I don't think he was, like, contracted out security or something, because that would be part of the story, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So
no, I thought Michael said that he was a contractor.
Well, that's all he's being described as. But what I'm saying is he's not being described as some sort of contractor one would expect to carry a gun. This is apparently a guy with a lengthy rap sheet and a gun.
Yes. Up here, if you have any kind of a rap sheet, you can't get a gun. You can't get ammo. You can't get ammo to shoot a nail in the concrete. Literally. I forget what they call them. I don't do carpentry work, so. But, you use the ammo to shoot the nail into floors and concrete, stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you have a DUI in Massachusetts, you can't get any ammo for that. You can't even use one of those guns legally. But you go down south.
Oh. No, that's not a reason.
It's totally different story.
Wildly different. Yeah, I mean, if you can,
in
West Virginia, if you can muster a pulse, you can get a gun.
Yes. That's why we have a lot less shootings up in Massachusetts than you guys have down there.
All absolutely true.
They're just a little bit harder to get. The ones, the ones that are illegal that criminals have usually are gotten by break-ins or something like that. They're usually, stolen handguns or rifles, things like that. So, but anyways, that's pretty much all I had to say.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and we already know that this country has gone absolutely out of its mind over firearms. Pick a state. I mean, I'm sure even in Massachusetts there are people who are gun loons. It's just maybe
the
a little
one
bit...
I can't stand is I work with a few guys who have that bumper stick on the back of their car. Ted Nugent for president. That was just...
No.
Like Bill Hicks would say, it's a hoot. Just a hoot.
When we refer to him, Carl, we refer to him as the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him.
No. Bill Hicks is awesome. Was awesome. I wish he was still around. I really wish he was still around. I think Ted Nugent and Sarah Palin should run for vice and president. We could call it the quitter and the shitter.
Oh, I like that.
Don't want to make a bumper sticker like that. I don't know which one should be president, though.
Oh, God. Now, see, wow, who do you... Talk about stuck between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, Bill, you have a nice night.
All right, you take it easy, Carl. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye.
Carl, calling from Western Mass. Always good to hear from Carl. Line is open. Area code 304-574-8178 to reach the program. The way it works, until we get another line cooking, if you hear someone on the program, then, you know, you won't get through. But once the line is clear, it's wide open to you. So anybody from anywhere, you are welcome in the program this evening. It's about 20 minutes past the hour, and yeah, we got some thorns in the side this evening. I don't necessarily know how this process works, but I get the idea that the ladder of success in right-wingdom has something to do with saying really mean, crazy, vicious, hateful crap as often as possible. And it turns out, do you remember, because we've talked about this a couple of times, you remember the woman who said that Eric Holder runs the Justice Department like the Black Panthers? Andrea Tanteros? Yeah, this is the same woman who said that it's drunk girls' fault if they get raped at a fraternity party. Well, apparently she's also a cultural and medical expert. This is the first official duct tape and hockey puck warning of the evening. Please take it seriously. This is not a drill. No, it's not.
Talked with Dr. Siegel, who's part of our medical aid team here, and he says that in any regard, whether they're looking for Ebola, the flu, or whatever, you always, when somebody comes in who presents certain symptoms to the ER, you always ask them where they were recently. He said, This was incompetence. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to know is, where's the accountability now? Are we going to hear that people are going to be fired at that hospital, so on and so forth?
I think we know that we can't rely on people for human intelligence. We can't. And there's going to be breakdowns.
What, Edith, huh? That's beautiful. I mean, that is art of its sort. We can't rely on people for human intelligence. God knows we can't rely on Fox. Okay.
Hear that people are going to be fired at that hospital, so on and so forth.
I think we know that we can't rely on people for human intelligence. We can't. And there's going to be breakdowns because humans are going to have failures. We saw they let him out of this hospital and he exposed himself to children. So, Harris, I don't think we can trust them to give...
Wait! Stop! Huh? I didn't even know that's how Ebola was transmitted. But isn't she relying on human intelligence there? When she says that he was released from the hospital and exposed himself to children? Ain't got it right now. That tequila bottle's going to get a workout. That rot gut may actually melt the swirly straw at the rate we're going here. He exposed himself to children. Oh, she really said that?
We can't rely on people for human intelligence. We can't. And there's going to be breakdowns because humans are going to have failures. We saw they let him out of this hospital and he exposed himself to children. So, Harris, I don't think we can trust them to give us the accurate information.
We can't. And them, of course, is the CDC because, you know, it's probably Kenyan influence now. Apparently, our buddy the Angry Indian has now moved into furniture-kicking mode. Jesus effing Christ, why does this woman have a job in journalism? Well, one, it ain't journalism. And two, because brains are not part of the job description over to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. They're not going to give us the real facts. Where are we going to get them? Can't trust human intelligence. Maybe the aliens on Norblop 12 are beaming the truth into, Andrea Tantaros' earrings or something. Maybe they're made of latinum.
We may see people getting on flights saying they haven't come in contact with anybody, and maybe they have because they want treatment in the U.S. We are not equipped to handle this. And at the time when we should be preparing, the president was dancing in Martha's Vineyard and assuring us that this would never happen. I'll say it before, I'll say it again. In these countries, they do not believe in traditional medical
care. Wait, this is, okay, so back up. So this, I reissue the duct tape and hockey puck warning because this is it. So you've got that one dancing in Martha's Vineyard. Oh, Jesus.
Martha's Vineyard and assuring us that this would never happen. I'll say it before, I'll say it again. In these countries, they do not believe in traditional medical care. So someone could get off a flight and seek treatment from a witch doctor that practices Santeria. This is a bigger fear. We're...
Huh? Could get off the plane and seek treatment from a witch doctor who practices Santeria. Andrea, I'll have you know our gods are plenty powerful when properly invoked. These people. You notice the these people, right?
In these countries, they do not believe in traditional medical care. So someone could get off a flight and seek treatment from a witch doctor that practices Santeria. This is a bigger fear. We're hoping that they come to the hospitals in the U.S. They might not.
All right.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. You know what? I'm going to the phone. Carol's with us. Hey, Carol, help me. Help me, Carol Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope.
She's got great tits.
Hmm. Well, I noticed the hair's pretty fabulous. Now, I just got our true trivia fact for the evening. Here's a Lulu. Luda just sent me a note, Carol, and said, Bob, did you know that Dingbat used to be married to Gavin Newsom from California? Correct me if I'm wrong, someone, but they all look alike to me. Luda's a Native American. And he was married to one of those Stepford women. Boy, what an odd damn couple. I done lost me some respect for Mayor Newsom. They all look alike to me.
That was funny.
Yes, it was. Oh, God almighty. What an evening.
But did you see the rack on her?
Well, that's what Clyde and Emery and Arlie and the rest of the Fox News guy, you know. I mean, what remember who was it that said he got a stiffy or something watching Sarah Palin speak?
Oh, I've heard that many times from Cletus and his pals down at the mailbox.
Down to Mr. Drucker's store?
Well, sort of.
God, we can't rely on people for human intelligence.
Well, I think the only thing that was missing was Fox not getting their, you know, real expert, medical expert on there, Dr. Keith Abloh.
Oh.
Who could explain the psychopathology of these people.
Where does it, is there any end? Lucky Steve gets to bail out. Steve just wrote me and said, I'm sorry, I've really had all I can take tonight. I honestly 100% can't believe these people say shit like this. Where is the, and they even wear bones in their noses comment?
Oh, I know.
They may get off the plane.
and go to some doctor who practices Santeria. Now, is she's talking about in the United States, because there, I mean, I've been to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. I trust you probably have as well. I found the barbecue place pretty quick, but I never passed the Santeria physician's cubicle or, you know, the little foot massage places and the chairs and stuff. And no Santeria anywhere in DFW.
I've been there many times, and I've never seen one.
And you know those people. They don't believe in traditional medicine.
But did you see the rack on her?
It's fabulous. And she's also got the little Veronica from Archie Comics flip shoulder hair flip going on thing.
I think my point is it doesn't matter what she says.
No, did you see the yes?
She just has to be, you know, that sculpted fox face that they like their women's to have. She's got to have nice hair and a good face and a, you know, reasonably decent rack, and she's fine.
And, well, and of course, she's also the token not a blonde.
Well, you know, they are an equal opportunity employer.
And, I hear it's a nice gig.
I'd rather eat ground glass than sit and lie in front of a camera.
Oh, or lie and lie in front of the camera.
Well,
but I mean, that's how Limbaugh got his oxyjones. You know, if you sit there for years and years and years just spewing unmitigated vomitous bullshit, sooner or later it's going to take a toll on you, and you know, a couple of beers after work aren't going to get her done.
Yeah, but you know, Rush is an angry guy. If you'd been that many years since you'd seen your wanker, you'd be mad too.
Yeah, cranes are involved, I think. Yeah, well, and then I mean, he was released from the hospital and exposed himself to children. You want to buy a watch?
Yeah. I got the burning double entendre there. He's an evil man.
Yes, yes. And that's because he's not American.
He's not white.
Well, there is that. He might be distant relations of that Kenyan Muslim in our White House.
And not the white half.
Not the good half, right.
Not the good half, that's right.
Yeah, and, you know, poor Angry is having a conniption. That's what Thorn in the Side Thursday's for. I don't think ever before I have seen a one-word comment come from Angry that it is the word fuck with about four exclamation points. Because you know how reasoned and calm Angry is.
Angry? That was a four slammer fuck. I get it.
Tim from L.A. says, I'm listening to you and Carol speak. We love you, Carol, he says, about Fox News and their idiocy. But yesterday I learned that Fox dumped Alec. What's going on? I'm confused. I mean, this is the same network that had Avatar and Glee. Do you have any drugs for my confusion?
Oh, Alec just changed his name for Fox News. That's all.
Yeah. Let's see. Google's gotten out. A couple of others. But, yeah, I think they're going under. They're going underground in large part because of this article that I mentioned a few nights ago from Tim Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't know if you caught that, but the Koch brothers had a straight-up plum sure enough hissy.
Yes.
Over Tim Dickinson's article. And their hissy amounted to them complaining that he had reported true facts about them.
I know. I read Tim Dickinson's reply to them. He went to them point for point. And they weren't attacking any of the facts. They were attacking Tim Dickinson.
Precisely. Oh, and by the way, did you catch now that the position of director of the Secret Service is open, Carol? Did you notice that there are some suggestions coming out there for who should be the new director?
Yes, I saw that. Alan West was their big choice, and to which I can only reply, you dickheads are watching too many episodes of Dexter if you think that you're going to hire a psychopath to go after the psychopaths. Because that's what it boils down to.
Oh, it was, you can just just try to imagine, you know, he's Urkel gone psychopathic with a gun.
Did I do that?
Yeah. Oh, we're going, I mean, I don't say things, Carol, just to be saying them. I mean, if I did, this would be right-wing radio.
Oh, I know.
Where you just, you know, make crap up to get Emery and Eileen and Clyde and Marvelline, you know, Cletus.
I know. All. We use facts and bloodthirsty shit like that. I know.
Yeah. But if I was into just saying, well, no, I am. And the thing is, I was born in 1963. I was not quite fully 10 months old on November 22nd of 1963. But in the months leading up to November 22nd, 1963, there were a lot of people who were genuinely beginning to be very, very, very concerned about the well-being of the President of the United States. I'm there. Because now you can tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think, and I said this before, I don't think the Republican Party, the majority in the House of Representatives, cares whether President Obama's life is at risk. They'd have to all of them be Thorazine darted to keep him from giggling if something happened to him.
They're giggling now and doing a bad job of it. I've already read the piece where Obama is to blame for all of the death threats. Obama is to blame for the fall down in the Secret Service, because naturally he would want the least competent people protecting him, his wife and his daughters, the things to which he holds the most near and dear to his heart.
Yeah, and who was the jackass who said that if he gets shot, it'll be his own fault?
I don't know. I think I went apoplectic and stopped reading it, but I saw it.
I mean, I just... like a brick in the head.
Uh-huh.
And so, you saw the cartoon, right?
Oh, yeah, I posted it yesterday. Nothing racist here, move along.
Right, right. And the Boston Herald issues the non-apology apology. We apologize if you were offended.
If you were offended. Because the subtext to that is, if you were offended, you're just some thin-skinned. There's something wrong with
well,
you.
Well, you're probably thin and dark-skinned.
Well, I'm white, but I'm not NASCAR white, and I was offended.
But Carol, it goes past offended. I'm embarrassed, too. I mean, this is, it's dangerous, it's offensive, and I'm not talking about just the cartoon. All of this, it's dangerous, it's offensive, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the rest of the world is looking at us and, oh, dear. And I almost forgot. I got one you may or may not have heard about. But mm-hmm. I read this. I had it in the stack for yesterday, but, well, we all know what happened.
Yeah. You got smited.
Yeah, well, you know, you go to work on the great big juvenile delinquent in the sky, and bad things are going to happen.
I do it all the time.
He is a powerful one. No, Matt Osborne writing over at Breitbart Unmasked.
Oh, I think I blocked Breitbart off of my news feed.
Right. Well, no, this is not Breitbart. This is Breitbart Unmasked. These are the anti-Breitbarts.
Oh, what was it?
These are the people who deconstruct the freaks.
There's a full-time job.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and this is one of those that made me run screaming into the yard because of the little history nerd that I am, Carol. Matt writes, and Matt's a friend of the program, by the way. Ron Paul, the cult candidate who beta-tested Tea Parties for the Koch brothers, what a line,
yeah.
has confirmed that he does, in fact, approve of secessionist movements in the United States, calling them a check on the power of the federal government. Here's the pull quote. I'd take a big bite of the hockey puck right about now. I think what is most... No, wait, I got to get my Ron Paul voice. I think what is most important is we have a concrete right to secede, Paul said. Even if we never had any secession or any state declare independence, we would be so much better off because there would always be this threat. Once the threat of a state leaving was removed, it was just open-door policy for the federal government to expand itself and run roughshod out over the states because the states couldn't do much. Uh-oh. I don't hear Carol.
No, that's because I'm just sitting here. I'm sorry. There's a fucktard trifecta in there somewhere.
Well, Matt goes on and says, in fact, no concrete right to secede exists in the Constitution or in American law, and the attempted secession of southern states from the Union in 1861 resulted in some 750,000 American deaths over 4 years while the rebellion was put down. Paul is aware of this violent history, telling the National Journal that the heavy hand of the federal government would come down. But in contrast to his outspoken anti-war message, Paul remains enthusiastic about the prospect of a bloody second civil war at home.
Yeah, Ron Paul hasn't been a fan of war since the Civil War, when he was just a nipper rooting for the Union.
Rooting for the
Confederacy, rather.
Oh, the sun shines bright. This just devastates me. This is frightening. Because sooner or later, because we've seen it happen before, sooner or later, somebody is going to take him up on his offer.
And they usually do. They usually do. That's what happens, is these guys get out there and they say all this crazy stuff, and then somebody takes them up on it and goes in and decides to Second Amendment their way to freedom. And then the Ron Pauls and the Glenn Becks and the Rush Limbaughs and the Billow the Clowns sit back and go, what me?
Well, clearly that person was mentally disturbed.
Yeah, right. That, you know, how many years did we hear Bill O'Reilly chant Tiller the Killer until somebody walked into his church
and made it true,
murdered the man, and then they caught the guy who did it not 20 miles from Hooterville?
Jesus. I was talking to Ben Birch yesterday before everything went sideways, and they had an emergency at the water treatment plant there in Elgin, Illinois. Man with a gun trying to sabotage equipment.
Oh. What could go wrong?
It's all, this stuff is boiling. And I don't know how many people understand how grave it's getting. Because, as I've said before, as long as the cable stays on, Carol.
Oh, I know. It's all going to be fun and games until somebody, you know, poisons a water supply and kills off, you know, few dozen thousand people.
Right. And, you know, that goes back to the, and by the way, like I said, it was not a buried lead, it was a buried story. That story about CAMC allegedly using the poison water in its hospitals, that was page 9A of the Gazette. Because that's not a big paper.
I know, but Kim Kardashian's ass takes up the first 8 pages. And that's, I mean, look.
Well, how did, now where aren't
we? What America cares about?
Aren't we fighting Kardashian now alongside ISIL? Some group that starts with a K. I thought it was. I just couldn't understand how she got over there so quick. But I got one other little, you know, because we all love Louis Gohmert so much.
Oh God, that guy! How is he walking around without an orderly?
You know, there's that old blonde joke out there about the blonde who walked around with the headphones in her ears all the time. It was funny back when it was, because everybody didn't walk around with headphones in their ears all the time. But one day somebody, just wanting to know what she was always listening to, pulled the headphone out of her ear and she dropped dead. And they put the headphones in there, and all they heard was breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
That's Louie.
I think it just they've perfected some sort of nanotechnology, or maybe he really, maybe he's part of the invasion force from Norblap 12.
Did somebody piss on his asparagus or something?
No. He's upset. He's upset at that one's administration, again.
Still.
And he says that the Secret Service's failings are a matter of political correctness. And of course, he has an anonymous conversation that only happened in his head to refer to. He said, "I talk to these Secret Service agents. Most of them are safe agents who have performed admirably and loyally for all these years, done a stellar job. But when you put political correctness above all else, just like we have with our rules of engagement and with our military, that's getting our own military killed." Huh? But no, this is the best part. He alleged that President Obama sent 3,000 military into where they can get Ebola and they can bring it back. The military's not trained to go catch Ebola and die.
God.
I know. Just breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Let it go now.
I got the headphones in.
Jesus God.
But I'm not blonde.
They're going to go and get the Ebola. And I guess we've got a sense of gallows humor, at least, well, I know we do here in West Virginia. I heard somebody sneeze the other day and say, "Hope it ain't the Ebola." But that's okay. I'm sure there will be a lay. Isn't it interesting that the faith healers have not volunteered to go to the isolation unit of the Ebola patient in Dallas and lay hands on him and heal him?
I find that remarkably odd that they haven't volunteered their services. And after all, there's no way they could get it. God would protect them because they are the chosen ones.
Absolutely. And they could certify that he was now Ebola free and turn him loose on the population. Lovely. Where he could expose himself to children.
To more children.
Right.
Yes.
Oh my God. And you know, the Texas. The state, because see, the goddess of irony, Carol, she never lays down on the job. The U.S.'s first case of Ebola happens in Texas, where there are more uninsured people than any other state in the union. Tell me that's not a place that's just ripe. What happens when people get sick and they can't go to the doctor, Carol?
Well, ask Mitt Romney. They don't just sit in their apartments and die. They go to the emergency room.
And, of course, Kansas is ready for a zombie attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was on their list of priorities. They closed down the last homeless shelter because they didn't have any money. But they have money to prepare for the zombie apocalypse.
Well, maybe they can open up the... Maybe if they can open the homeless shelter back up after they've had their dildo auction.
Oh, I'm still pissed about that.
Can't believe it wasn't in the local press, Carol.
I can't believe it was not in the Hooterville Holler.
Yeah, that was good. Is that the morning paper? Because I think because I heard the evening paper is the Hooterville battle cry of freedom.
Yeah, something like that.
And moral volcano.
Sitting there going, there are marital aids for sale to help pay off the Kansas debt, and I could have contributed
for cheap
and gotten some pleasure out of it.
Yeah, right. God. There it is. Tim from L.A. found the story. Conservative blames President Obama for his own potential assassination. This would be Ronald Kessler. He said, "Despite the obvious danger to himself and his own family, President Obama refuses to replace Pearson." Well, she's resigned since. "The truth is that no internal reviews or congressional hearings will change the Secret Service's broken management culture. It needs better leadership. as in any organization, only a CEO who comes from the outside can make the necessary changes. That's a major reason why Robert S. Mueller III, a veteran prosecutor and former Justice Department official who became director of the FBI, was able to change the direction and culture of the Bureau after 9/11, orienting it toward preventing future attacks. Agents tell me it's a miracle an assassination has not already occurred. Sadly, given Obama's colossal lack of management judgment, that calamity may be the only catalyst that will reform the Secret Service. The man actually suggested that the way to fix the Secret Service is to assassinate the President of the United States.
There are many Americans who believe that that would be the quick fix to pretty much everything.
We could take our country back. I mean, we might not like that Joe Biden, but at least, you know, he's, you know, not one of them Kenyan Muslims.
You know what? They don't, this whole take my country back, these people do not have the deed.
No, no.
And whether they like it or not, they have to share it with the rest of us. The black ones and the vagina havers and the Mexicans and...
Long as
guess which one I am.
I don't know. Ich bin ein Mexican?
Ich bin ein vagina haver.
God, that sounds so Scandinavian.
I know.
Yeah, vagina haver. Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah. You betcha.
Now I'll get a note from Scott. That'll involve those vowels I can't pronounce. It goes, 3,000 American soldiers, they're going to go over and get the Ebola.
They don't have to. All they have to do is stand and wait at the border because all those Africans are walking across the ocean, according to, you know, the brain trust that is the GOP leadership.
And, you know, nothing sleazy that ever happens in the Republican Party ever stays put. They spread almost virally. You remember Thad Cochran and Pappy McDaniel down
yes.
there? And remember one of Pappy's operatives going into Thad Cochran's wife's nursing home room where she suffers from Alzheimer's disease and taking pictures of her laying in the bed?
Yeah.
Classy, right? Well,
although I think somebody topped that one today, but go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
And curiously, it's another state that begins with M, I, well, from, I guess, how would we elide the two? Mississippi?
Michiganistan.
Yeah. Michigan? But, yeah, just hang the stan on the end of it. John Fisher is a candidate for the House in the state of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
the state House, not the federal. And he is being opposed by some godforsaken, soulless, conscienceless, repig-licking.
Markin.
Yeah, there you go. Hell yeah. And the Michigan Republican Party sent out a mailer asking people to call the phone number of John Fisher's mother.
Who is in hospice.
Who is in hospice care. Dying of congestive heart failure.
What could go wrong?
Let's see. Fisher said, I'm disgusted that Republicans are recklessly bullying my mother when she needs rest and quiet the most, but she is not the only senior in Michigan whose life's been disrupted because of them. And his opponent is Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, Iden, I-D-E-N. And Iden said, obviously, you know, it's not sent out by our campaign. I don't condone negative campaign tactics. It's not something my campaign has done or anticipates doing.
Bullshit.
Right. Bullshit.
Sorry, I had something stuck in my throat.
Yeah, and laughed all the way back to the media buyer.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a.
And these are the ones
with the traditional family values.
Yes, these soulless pieces of shit do this stuff, and then they say we didn't do it. It was obviously him doing it to make us look bad. Right.
Bingo.
And this is where I totally lose my shit and stage a nutty.
Oh, well, I love the mailer. John Fisher and Obamacare may leave us bedridden.
Yeah, no subtext there.
Call his 91-year-old mother. And
who is dying.
Yeah. Well, he's just leading her to Jesus. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And
which is what made the whole Republicans are people too campaign.
Oh yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
So special.
I love that. And this is not from The Onion.
No.
This is a real thing. There is a campaign out there now called Republicans are people, too.
Think about the money they spent on that one.
I can't hardly do that. But, yeah, Republicans, what are some of the things?
Republicans have tattoos and beards and shop at IKEA and recycle and drive Priuses. With all these lovely photos, which have turned out to be stock photos.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, of course they are. They just bought them from Shutterstock or...
Yes. Yes. And this, my favorite one was this one black girl that they had on there. And I think BuzzFeed, Andrew Kaczynski at BuzzFeed did this whole expose of all of the ads that she's been in. He's like, man, she's really busy because she's going to nursing school and getting a payday loan and he named off like 12 ads that she was in. He goes, so she's a Republican, she's a busy one.
I think I've got if we have any luck at all, I think I've got the audio here. Let me see.
Oh, please.
Working. Did you know Republicans drive Priuses? Republicans recycle? Republicans listen to Spotify. Republicans put together IKEA furniture. Republicans are white. I love how that... Republicans are black. Afterthought. Republicans are Hispanic. Republicans are Asian. Republicans read the New York Times. They read the New York Times in public. Republicans use Macs. Republicans are grandmas, daughters, moms. Republicans are left-handed. Republicans are doctors, welders, teachers. Republicans enjoy gourmet cooking. They shop at Trader Joe's. They like dogs and cats, but probably dogs a little more than cats. Republicans have tattoos and beards. Republicans have feelings. Hashtag, I am a Republican. Republicans are people who care. Republicans are people, too. You know, if your marketing gets to the point, Carol, where you've got to actually message on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty well toast.
Yeah.
And that's, is it just me, or if you were really working on that message, would you not make Republicans or white the first ethnic group that you mention? Republicans are white. No, really, really white.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Well, speaking of it, have you seen Say Yes to the Say Yes to the Dressization of
Tucker Carlson?
No, it's from the College Republicans. It's a Say Yes to Rick Scott ad.
I only heard Tucker Carlson's response to that.
It's based on Say Yes to the Dress, because everybody knows that young voters are just vacuous as hell. So it's
That's
Say
right.
Yes to the Candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson went nuts and said, everyone who watches Say Yes to the Dress shouldn't be allowed to vote. Because he only wants people who watch Here Comes Honey Boo Boo voting.
Well, I mean, what? And for some reason, my audio has disappeared on my browser, so we can't do it, and that sucks. But no, apparently, it's all set up in a bridal shop with, there's a list of extra costs that come with the Charlie Crist, high state debts and more expensive tuition for university students. And, of course, the article I'm looking at notes, Carol, that she has the bride-to-be has a sassy black friend. and her name is Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-I.
Oh, they misspelled it. Her name is Token.
Jesus, Carol! Man, just right just out of nowhere, but Tiffany says, we were not going to let her walk out of the voting booth like that. Sassy. that apparently is now a thing. Sassy. Yes.
Sassy black friend. Have you met my sassy black friend, Token?
Oh, God. On and on and on and on.
Sorry, sometimes I just can't help myself.
Yeah, and Devin recalls, of course, the classic, I'm not a witch. I'm a repiglican. I'm you. but never mind. Who was it? Steve Kornacki that was filling in for Rachel last night?
Yes.
And he did the story about Bruce Braley out in...
Yes.
And it's being portrayed as the great political faux pas of the year, that Bruce Braley looked at a bunch of trial lawyers and said, listen, if you don't support me, you're going to wind up with a farmer for the head of the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is... And the conventional wisdom, Carol, is... And you being an Iowan is why I bring this up.
Bruce Braley actually represents the district I'm from.
Oh, okay. I bet that must make you feel much better than if you were, like, from the district represented by Steve Cantaloupe's King.
Ugh.
But I don't... I think I could message... I guess what I'm saying is I think I could message my way out of that controversy. It was not a slur against farmers. Farmers are great. But you know what? You don't want a lawyer growing your corn either.
Well, and here's Joni Ernst, who her big claim to fame on her political ads is, I grew up on a farm castrating hogs.
Yeah.
And she winks at the camera. And I'm sitting there going, lady, I grew up on a farm castrating calves. I never once felt the need to put that on a frickin' resume.
No, nor did it strike me as particularly fun.
No, it wasn't.
Nor have I ever viewed it as a metaphor for good political representation. I'm going to go to Washington and use a knife on my on the other members of the Senate? Wow.
Joni Ernst, I would cut a bitch.
Yeah.
See, that's why they don't let me do their messaging.
Right. No, but you know, the Bruce Braley thing, I guess, I mean, really? Because there was a quote in the segment I watched where a Democrat who is a rural Iowa Democrat said, you know, he's just out of touch with our values.
Oh, horse shit.
I want
a lawyer. I want a freaking lawyer. I want somebody who understands constitutional law. You know, like the president.
Yeah, and frankly, I wouldn't have made the argument he made because he's got a treasure trove in Joni Ernst.
Yes, he does.
Why not just say, if you don't support me, you get that.
You get the hog castrator.
You get, I mean, you know how Charlie Pierce refers to Michelle Bachmann as the girl with the faraway eyes?
I love that.
Well, she's got the, Joni Ernst has the same eyes. And she's got the same vocal tics as Sarah Palin. This is all a cultivated image. And it's one dog whistle after another. And the idea and the idea that she's going to go to the Senate and make Charles Grassley look like the sane one.
Oh, God.
Look for a soft place to land. That's all I can say.
Sorry, Chuck Grassley makes my head hurt.
Oh, that nasal weaselly. See, I remember
him. I've known this guy since I was a kid. He has been in Congress since I was in, like, the fourth grade. And when I was in high school, I won a Voice of Democracy speech contest and got an – it was my first trip out of Iowa. I got an all-expenses-paid trip to Washington, D.C., went to the White House, and then – they judged, we had two kids from every state in the union. They had somebody go through, read all of the essays, and mine was picked. And we had to read them in front of this whole room. And all of our congressmen were invited. I'm at this meal and sitting next to Chuck Grassley through this entire meal, who is eating off of my plate.
Huh?
Yes. The man has all the couth of, you know,
on
my
purpose?
my dog who licks his balls. Yes, he was eating off of my plate and belching all through the meal. He's got this thing where he just belches all the time. I mean, he was the most disgusting individual I'd ever met in my life. And the only thing that saved me was when they called me up to the dais to read my speech. That was the only way I got away from him.
Chuck Grassley, I mean, did he look over and say, you're going to eat that?
No, I mean, he literally, there was like this, they had served like this fruit in a martini glass, and he's chatting with the person across the way, and he's like taking his like little fork and picking fruit out of my martini glass, and it's... He had already eaten his. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, my God.
And he's sitting there picking the fruit out of mine, but only the honeydew melon. He liked that, I guess. So he's like...
He left you the shitty unripe strawberries, did he?
Those nasty grapes, you know, that have been soaking in the...
You're soaking in it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. See, because my only experience with Chuck Grassley goes back to the Iran-Contra hearings. And what a nasty little shit weasel he was during all of that. There's a lot to be afraid for. I guess Chinless Mitch is pulling ahead in Kentucky no matter how many guns Allison Lundergan Grimes fires.
Last I heard, she was 2 points ahead.
Oh, was she? Okay. That's nice. Maybe I was wrong.
It's a statistical tie.
Goody. I mean, granted, now see, this is where the education part comes in, Carol, because, you know, you said something to me last night on Facebook that just, you know, warmed the cockles of my heart.
What was that?
No, when you said that you have taken it upon yourself to learn more about mountaintop removal.
Oh yeah. Because I'm not from there. I have no concept of what it is. So I started watching these videos. I took a couple hours out on Sunday and sat down and started watching the videos of the before and after of what they do and how this stuff just goes everywhere and how infinitesimal it is, the amount of coal that they get out of it. I mean, it's like they're just raping the land to be raping the land.
Yeah, well, and I mean, they get, you gotta rape a lot of land to get a lot of coal. They move millions of tons, but it's in seams that are a foot thick.
Yeah, but it's such a tiny amount that they get, and the number of people that they're making sick and poisoning, and the bad part, and this is what I was saying, was that the reason that we should all be concerned about this is that all of that pollution that's going into the streams, all that coal ash that's going into the streams, all that stuff, that isn't staying in West Virginia. Those streams go somewhere.
Sure they do. Those are, and well, I mean, they did until 2,000 miles of them got buried, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the capillary streams that water the entire southeastern United States. I seem to recall the batshit crazy right-wing fundamentalist evangelical governor of Georgia having a pray for rain ceremony a couple of years ago because Lake Lanier north of Atlanta was, you know, swirling the drain. Well, there's more than drought that contributes to that. If you don't have water flowing down from the mountains, you don't have rivers in the flatland.
Nope.
But it did, and you know, you talked about you took a couple of hours. Wait till next week.
I can't wait until next week. I am really looking forward because Chris Hayes has a very meticulous way of dissecting issues in ways that make it very understandable for people. So I'm looking to get my nerd on.
Yeah, it starts on Monday and goes all week, mm-hmm. One segment each evening. And just based on my experience working with them, it is going to be meticulous and it is going to be broad spectrum, and it'll look at the whole cycle. And that's one of the problems we face here is that. For instance, people think that if we can just stop coal-fired power plants, everything will be good. Well, it won't. They'll keep blowing shit up here because it's fun to put it on a boat and send it to the Netherlands or China or India or Russia. You know, our friends in Russia.
Yeah.
And then you're right. It comes back in the form of ash. It comes back. It's asthma. Ought to be renamed coal disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's coal disease for people who don't live in coal country. It is, for the last 100 years, the gift that we have given America and the world.
You know, and as you pointed out the other night, nobody loves coal like Missouri.
Oh no, y'all do some serious loving of coal.
Yes, we do.
And it's not just it's not just Roy Blunt. Claire McCaskill is a friend of coal too.
Yes, she is.
And that's one of the problems that we face. The fact that, you know, this is not an issue that divides along party lines. As a human rights issue, it should be something that is of concern to everybody. For God's sakes, we've even got studies that show that fetuses are harmed.
Yes.
Can you get the pro-lifers on board with that? Nope. Those are not the fetuses they're looking for, Obi-Wan.
We just wait until they's born and worry about it then.
Yeah, I don't know if you found any of it in your search, but Sparky suggested this. Just search the name Judy Bonds, B-O-N-D-S. And she's a hero of mine. We lost her to cancer a couple of years back. The same way we lost another hero of mine, Larry Gibson, to heart disease a couple of years back. But bless, you know, bless her memory. She's still out there on YouTube and still giving them hell.
Cool.
I mean, she was about 5 feet tall, tops, and would stand there and give Hail Columbia to a 6'5" coal executive, and didn't have a nickel's worth of back down in her. But yeah, she's wildly inspiring. So thanks to the Sparky for the reminder. Oh, and thank you, Carol, for helping out this evening. I need to let folks know that we have pulled together 40 of the $200 we need to raise to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Joe and Steve and you, and so hopefully. Other folks will want to see their money matched, and I understand that the PayPal button is non-existent right now, but if you go to your own PayPal account and just log in and use bobkincaid@gmail.com as the send, because that's the same address that the PayPal button is attached to, then it'll go through just fine, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Sorry for the interruption, but...
And dummies like me who send it to the wrong place, it ends up going to the right place anyway.
Well, yeah, not bob@headonradio.com. No. Don't use that.
Yeah, don't use that.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me. Okay, listen to me sometimes, but not for that.
Yeah, when she says help out, listen to Carol.
Pony up, bitches.
There you go. Doctor Who, go ahead.
I love you guys, but pony up.
Right. We want to make it to the anniversary. And I'm so stoked about getting this little – it'll probably take me a month of Sundays to figure out how it works. But I'm so stoked at getting this little gizmo in that we can use to bring bring one more phone line in and add to a little bit more to Friday on the Front Porch that I can hardly stand myself.
I'm pretty excited about that, too. And I got to tell you, when I win the lottery, you're getting a Mac. Because once you go Mac, you never go back, baby.
Are you a Mac person?
I am so Mac-alicious in this house, it ain't even fun. Well, yes, I use Mac. I'm a liberal.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, I forgot about that. Well, Ben Birch has been a Mac guy for, well, I think he probably got maybe the second machine Steve Jobs ever built in that garage.
And I got the third.
But... We've gone. I've been trying to think over the course of 10 years how many computers we've gone through here. You know, and they're all PCs.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a mix of a brand new, well, not brand new, but close enough, barely used at all mixer. But the problem is, and it's a good problem, I guess. It runs. It can run on FireWire,
wow.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah.
If the FireWire works.
Yeah.
And I've tried it with PC, no less than 4 different PCs, and the folks at the manufacturer say, you know, you've got to have one of these approved chipsets. And I've got one of those approved chipsets for the FireWire. And way back when I'd be traveling, people have heard this thing go sideways. And after a long bunch of exchanges with the manufacturer tech support folks, they finally said, listen, it might work if you went, and he started telling me things to do way down in the core of C.
Yeah.
Down there where you have to shrink to fit and become Tron and ride the motorcycle and stuff. He said, or you could just get a Mac.
This is why I love my Apple products, because I am so stupid when it comes to this stuff, and it's all been so user-friendly. I took my old flower. I had one of those old flower pot Macs, the iMacs that first came out.
Yeah.
Took it over to my 75-year-old stepmother's house, set it up. She sat down, started going to town on it, and she looked at me and she said, if I'd have had this years ago, I wouldn't have been so afraid of it. I mean, literally, you could put this old woman who had no concept of anything down in front of it, and she could use it. And it's not updatable. It's not anything, but it gets the internet. And she can shop on it. And she can. That's all she cares about.
Yeah, well, and in my case, I even went looking the other day at Ben Birch's suggestion. I found a completely refurbished Mac Pro.
Oh, man.
From 2009. You know, quad-core processor, terabyte hard drive, 8 gigs of RAM, $524.
Damn.
And I think it's got, like, 4 FireWire 400 ports, 4 FireWire 800 ports. That's kind of out in the future. I hope, you know, we're just trying to do a little 9th anniversary upgrade, I guess, is what it boils down to.
Poor man's last hope, LOTTO, baby.
Oh well, yeah. I don't seem to be very good at that.
I don't either.
You know, they've got the little laser barcode readers now for your lottery tickets.
Yes.
So you don't have to hand it over to the possibly unscrupulous person who, when the jackpot's going to go, I win! Oh, that's my ticket. Says you. But
exactly.
No, but they got the, and so for everybody else, when they stick it in, it says not a winner.
Yep.
When I put my ticket in, it says loser.
Does it give you the little L on the forehead?
It's just like a little beam coming out of R2-D2. Just, you know, puts the little L right on it. That's me. The fan base is kicking in now. Ark Ellison just said, I'm writing this on my Mac Air. I love it. I just hope I'm not a cliche.
Well, I've got a Mac Mini here at the house and an iPad for each hand.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And are your hands big enough to, like, thumb the... Yeah.
Oh, they've got a nice on-screen keyboard, but I bought a really cheap external Bluetooth keyboard that my Mac just props right up on, and mm-hmm. it acts like a little laptop.
Oh, your iPad?
Yeah. When I type to you on Skype...
Yeah.
When I message you, I'm using that little...
So are you iPad Air?
Yeah. I got Wi-Fi.
No. I mean the iPad Air, and then there's the third generation iPad.
No. I've got the old iPad that I just kind of bump. I do a lot of tutoring of kids here in Hooterville with reading disabilities because they've all got them, and I find that if I put an iPad in their hand, they're a lot more willing to do stuff, so I've got all their storybooks and all that stuff. I don't want to give it away that I'm a nice person, but when I hand them an iPad and get them to do things on the iPad, they're a lot more willing, so I've got that one that I give to the kids, and then I got, like, the third generation with the real high-def camera and all that stuff, but I haven't upgraded to the newer one. I don't need to.
It's still doing everything you need, right?
It does everything I need.
Well, I've had a word of warning come in from Randy. He says the old Macs are obsolete because they don't run the newer OSs and are not secure.
Well, that's true, but you know what? For what I use it for, I've pretty much got my Facebook locked down tight, so that really, unless you're friends with me, you can't even find me. If you look through, you got to be a friend of a friend to even find me. I use a different.
How did we connect?
I don't know.
Art Cop maybe, or no?
Carl Howard maybe.
Maybe Carl. Yeah. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Carl posts a lot of cool stuff on my Facebook page.
Yeah, he does. He's a smart guy.
Oh yeah, and a witty one as well.
Yes, he is.
I keep wondering if maybe he's distant relations of the Howard brothers, you know, Mo, Larry. Curly. No. Larry was a fine. Mo Shemp and Curly were the brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Carl's coming in from the chat room too. So I don't know. We'll hopefully sort through all that, and I don't know. There's still I mentioned the other night. There's still plans for a crowdfunding campaign. We'll discuss that sometime soon. They just changed the topic in the chat room. Friday on the front porch should be a riot tomorrow. And Sparky said, because we will make it so.
That is right.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, everybody bring your A game tomorrow.
We know how to have a good time when we're sitting around on the front porch.
And honest to God, is that, this is not braggadocio. Does what we do on Friday on the front porch happen on any other programs?
No. Because we get people from the whole spectrum.
Yeah, from left to really left. No. Well, no, I mean, just that whole round table format. But
from different parts of the country,
yeah.
And who people who understand the issues and, you know, and they talk about their local races, and we talk about sports. We talk about all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that reminds me. My beloved Mountaineers are playing tonight.
What's a Mountaineer?
That's the West Virginia University football team.
I know. I was just kidding.
No, I know.
I wanted to sound like a girl.
No, there are a couple of times when we've been really terrible, and this is slightly sexist, people have suggested we ditch the Mountaineer nickname and refer to ourselves as the West Virginia Tampons.
Oh, God.
Because we were only good for one period and there was no second string.
Oh, I like that.
We're a little better this year, but I don't know. Tonight could be quite the test. You know, Baylor hangs basketball scores on football scoreboards. I think we beat them a couple of years ago, 73-72. No shit.
Oh, damn. Sounds like a basketball score.
Yeah, and then last year they beat us like we owed them money.
They made you their red-headed stepchildren.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll cross our fingers. Well, I'll tell you what, Carol, this has been a lovely conversation.
It has been, and I was just going to get off because I bet you there are people just dying to talk to you.
Well, I did see Angry ring in a little bit ago.
Angry! I'm out of here.
So, and he's still showing us online, so hopefully we will hear from Angry if he's over his furniture kicking and cussing fit. These people, they resort to witch doctors.
Put some ice on that, Angry, and get on the horn.
There we go. Carol, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too, buddy. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Carol out in Hooterville. Actually, the original name of the West Virginia Mountaineers, and this is just culture, this isn't sports, so nobody has to dial away, was the West Virginia Snakes. No kidding. Hey, look, there's Mr. Stress. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
What's happening?
If I knew that, I'd be where we're at, bro.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I'm just hanging out here, doing not much of anything but listening, and Carol is on it tonight. She got a few good laughs out of me.
Oh, Carol makes my evening. No doubt about it.
Should we make her a full-time member of the sarcastic, sick school of comedy?
Oh, I don't know. There was definitely a toaster involved with that. They misspelled her name, or they mispronounced her name. That devastated me.
Yeah, well, I was going to launch last night into the fact that you're talking about the Roman Catholic situation with the type of priests they have. Now, I keep wondering, did I live in a different world because we didn't have that stuff going on?
Odds are, Bill, you just didn't know it was going on.
Well, at least the ones I knew. maybe I wasn't good looking enough. I don't know, but maybe I was too old.
Stop.
Or maybe it was too damn tough a neighborhood, you know.
Maybe I wasn't good looking enough. Oh my God.
Because the area that I was in, we had a Franciscan church, and I don't know, maybe it's me. Are you familiar with the work of Francis of Assisi?
Oh, yes.
Which is a bad term to use, I suppose. It's kind of a pun there. Assisi, Italy. Yeah, you're familiar with that.
As a child, as a teenager, I actually went to Assisi. And, you know, it's this old medieval hilltop fortress town that looks out over this lush, broad plain. It's just beautiful. I think if we were diagnosing him in the modern world, Bill, we'd say that he got a really bad dose of PTSD and had some visions. But he changed his life out of it and changed a lot of people's lives.
I don't, you know, maybe it was the way that they lived or whatever, the life. I don't know. Maybe they just were not in the right place at the right time to be completely asinine. Because believe me, Bob, I have no use for the Catholic Church anymore whatsoever. The last times I've been in one was when there was a box laying in the middle of the aisle. And somebody was a relation to me somewhere, uncle, aunt, whatever, sister. I had to bury my sister when she was 36 or 35 because of ovarian cancer. That's a son of a, that thing. It's funny how you learn stuff, you know. In fact, that's where I got into a beef with the female singer that, you know, from the girl who went to England, the young woman who went to England and,
yes.
Had a big career.
Yes.
She mentioned me
came
in one
back
of her songs.
Came back and her city was gone.
Yeah, exactly. And I liked the kid. She was talented as hell, and I knew that. And
still
told
is,
her.
Yeah.
But I had to, what got me was I was dropping out of the band. I said, look, my sister's dying. My mother's old. Somebody's got to take care of the situation. They got to do what they can. And that was my responsibility as being the only one left, so to speak. So what are you going to do? You can't resurrect your grandfathers anymore to step in and help you, you know, or anybody else. Because I had to deal with the whole situation of taking care of what was going to happen. I think my mother died 3 years later, so I went through it twice. I remember when me and my buddy were going through this place where they sell the coffins, you know?
Yeah.
And this buddy of mine, he's another sick project guy. To this day, he and I can still sit and exchange a half an hour of sarcastic observations. But the guy was showing me these coffins, you know, and telling me, well, this one has this, that, and the other thing. And I don't remember whether it was me or my buddy that said, you know, to turn off this guy's faucet. Can you show us one that has an automatic transmission and backup lights? And he didn't like that much, but he stopped trying to sell me an overpriced piece of wood, you know. Because any money that was left was going to go to my mother. So she
right.
needed it more than I did. That's for damn sure.
Backup lights.
What? I didn't get that. What were you laughing at?
The backup lights and the automatic transmission. Just.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was a master of sarcasm. I love that kind of stuff. Because how do you deal with idiots? It's all this. And with this ISIS stuff, I don't know. Do you see some countries that have trumped in Denmark? Was it Norway and Denmark?
I
have talked about it.
I don't know.
Because they're not, I mean, they're probably NATO members, but I wouldn't count on them for much, would you? I mean, or is it Belgium?
Well, you know, Belgium's NATO. I mean, hell, NATO headquarters are in Belgium.
Yep.
And I would think, there's one way to sort this out. By the way, I just have to throw this out there. I don't know what I was thinking. One, the Mountaineers don't play tonight. Two, they don't play Baylor this week. That's 2 weeks from now. And it's Kansas at home on Saturday.
Oh.
We're not even that far into the season, and I'm already a mess.
Well, with West Virginia and football, has there ever been something that I missed when they were a real powerhouse?
No, they have been. We are actually, the Mountaineers are actually the winningest college football team in, you know, the upper level, who don't have a national championship.
I can remember. I can throw you two names. Sam Huff.
Yep.
I believe graduated from West by God. And anybody could handle, he sure handled Jim Brown pretty good.
Oh, I think Jim Brown still hates. I think Jim still hates Sam Huff.
Huff was one of the few guys that made him look human, made him look mortal.
And then, of course, Chuck Howley.
Who?
Chuck Howley. Played for the Cowboys.
Okay, yeah. And another guy who played for the Cleveland Browns was Frank Gasky, who was the center for the Browns for about 10 years. He was one. He might be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the Browns that I think came in 50. When the Browns made the move from the what was left of the All-America Football Conference. And that was a great book on that, where it's just the battling between Paul Brown and the head of the Chicago Bears. George Halas. Oh, they went round and round, Bob. That was that. I wish I could find that damn book again, because I probably read it with my eyes. It wasn't on tape. It wasn't on CD. I just got one today on CD that I sent out, and I got a couple more to send out next week to the site center, because they have volunteers who will read them for you, and you pay them 10 or 15 bucks, and you get the value of the book back in your heart again. You get a chance to listen to somebody else read it for you.
Right.
You know? And I live for that stuff. That's basically, and for this stuff. Yeah, I'd like to see it be. I have the new computer has the capability of Skype, but I don't know if I can. You know, I'm going to need help setting it up. And there's one guy I'm talking to right now. He's probably listening. He's one who has been a godsend to me in computers. But to keep running something that I bought in '96 or so is amazing that it runs as well as it does. But it's it's that system that you didn't want to get rid of either, Bob. Operating system.
Yeah, I've gotten used to 7. I'm still not used to 8. I may never be used to 8.
Well, I have 7 waiting to go on, but it's actually running now. But I have to sit with somebody and set up all the good stuff, the radio stations and the different programs that I really use.
Yeah.
Bob, this is scary. When I'm listening to you guys and Carol and people like back east and you saying, I'm in trouble. she can have me laughing when she'll tell me things right on my nose.
Carol could have a happy career in stand-up if she wanted.
Yeah, she hits some of that stuff so hard and correctly that you can't say anymore. And it's funny. I mean, me and women always, I had a lot of good relationships over the years. Nowadays, I don't know if any of them are alive yet anymore. But, you're front of band, and people start talking to you, and they like what they heard. Well, my thing with women was, hey, this is their world as much as it is mine. And I was, I was there when that revolving door was starting to turn. And women were starting to speak out and act like me and every other man. They had a mind going, and there was nothing. Why shouldn't they,
Right.
They got to live in this mess, too, and they got to put up with as much crap as we do, plus, because there's still a lot of it. You talk about these TV women there, what a scam. I mean, the whole Fox thing is a scam. Somebody was telling me about Bill O'Reilly's books, And I just told him, look, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need the book. There's no toilet, you know, shortage of toilet paper I knew about anyway. So why should I, because the thing he just did a thing on, the great World War II armored commander.
Yeah, he wants to dig up Patton.
Yeah. And Patton was so far wrong at the end of the war about going to war against Russia. First of all, nobody in their right mind wanted to go openly to another war. The world hadn't got over the last mess. And, yeah, Stalin was Stalin, man. He was, and I think we have a regular caller who you know from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Who could tell us more about Stalin than we want to know about? But Stalin and Beria and, you know.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
No. I was simply agreeing with you.
Yeah, that whole bunch was, Stalin, he might have fooled Roosevelt some, and he got away with Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Hungary, and I was, 1956 uprising, I was 13, and was reading the newspaper, Hard and Heavy, when the Hungarians tried, you know, they pulled out of a revolution, and the Russians left the country, and then they came back with every damn piece of armor they could lay their hands on. But Stalin seized Europe. There's no two ways around it. He got away with it. But what were we supposed to do? I hate to say this to Americans, but the reason the fact that we were allied with the Russians in that war, sure, it made it winnable, didn't it? Because the U.S. had one foot in the Pacific, you know?
Yeah.
One very large foot in the Pacific.
Another story. Yeah.
And I wish to God they had never dropped the atomic bomb, but I have read so much that some of those Japanese militarists would not quit as long as they had one man to send out to die, Bob. They were every bit as stark raving, the Japanese militarists were stark raving crazy as the Nazis. And there's nothing, what can you say about it? And you know what bothers Americans like you and me now? Is that maybe we've gotten that way. Because we, believe it or not, we were not that way between the wars. The U.S. Army was 19th in size in 1938. We had fewer men under arms than Bulgaria did. So, and let's look at the size of the two countries. Now, I don't know, what do you think the U.S. didn't have? Well, we didn't have a big army for two reasons, and I think you can tell me what they are.
We have a history of not, we used to have a history of not wanting a giant standing army, Bill.
You got it. That's number one, but we have these two big oceans.
Well,
in
that,
the Atlantic,
yeah.
And the Pacific.
Oh, well, yeah, geography. Sure.
Yeah, that protected us a lot. We were too busy, according to Smedley Butler, too busy messing around in Latin America.
We worked, from the Monroe Doctrine forward, we worked hard to consolidate that.
Yeah, you know, the French had an empire and an army they were trying to put together in Mexico during the Civil War. But between the Mexican rebels and the fact that Stanton sent 50,000 Union veterans to the Mexican border, the French got the hell out of Mexico, and except Maximilian, he never made it all the way out. They executed him, I think. He was caught. The Foreign Legion has a holiday every year that they call Cameroon, which was a place where the Foreign Legion fought trying to defend the Emperor Maximilian. And even a group of people like that who were, you know, Foreign Legion was just a bunch of guys that didn't know what else to do with their time, evidently. And at D&B and Food, there was a whole bunch of Spanish, former Spanish communists
there was a bunch of everybody there.
Yeah. Well, they said D&B and Food spoke with a German accent. So what the hell do these Germans know what to do with their life after some of them had been lucky enough to survive the war, but they spent their whole life. They spent 5 years doing this crap. And that's all I know. So, you know, sort of keep going. But anyway, that was one thing I was, you hit me with something else too, and I can't remember what it was tonight. You said talked about something. Oh, sangria.
Oh, Jesus. Andrea Tantaris.
What?
Yeah, they get off the plane and instead of going to the hospital, they go to a witch doctor because, you know, they're from Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that.
Well, there was some talk about that type of religion. Was that out of Haiti?
Well, I'm probably not well equipped to or well enough educated to offer any kind of full synopsis or proper synopsis of Santeria, but it's got elements of animism, let's put it that way. And I've heard it argued that it is a sort of homogenization of what we call voodoo, traditional African animism with, you know, the typical always there Christian overlay.
Well, the French liked a certain tribe of people that they made slaves out of them, and which did not work too well in Haiti, did it? But they also had them in New Orleans, and those two areas were the big voodoo, the voodoo capitals, you know, Marie Laveau and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It starts out one way, and then the writers and such get a hold of it, and by the time they're done with it, you don't know which end is up. What is truth and what isn't, you know?
Right.
And people look for kind of run-of-the-mill guys looking for some almighty guy in a cloud that can tell them what to do and how to think, you know?
Right, and of course, back in August or so, you had the evil Jellicle who said that Ebola would be a blessing because it would kill off all the gays and the liberals and usher in the return of Christ.
Well, they said that about AIDS, too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought so. I mean, I think I heard everything. I didn't study it. There was always something to pick up a little knowledge of this and a little knowledge of that and then try to sort through it and keep going, which is why I'm going to get off the phone here and give somebody else a chance to react. But Carol gets the gold star for tonight, I'll tell you that. You guys had me going. I need the laughs, that's for damn sure. Because the laughing at taking something serious and telling the truth about it and making you laugh at the same time is a pretty interesting concoction. Anyway, take care.
All right, you have yourself a good evening, Bill. I tell you what, we are sincerely looking forward to having you back on the front porch in short order. Well, maybe
well,
not
I
short,
hope so.
But soon.
As I say, I hope my buddies are listening to me, are computer experts, sir. Hey, it's time to take a trip down here and show the old man how to operate this new machine.
I've heard from some folks that is in the offing. It's a matter of the time presenting itself.
Yeah, well, I've been working with there's two guys. One of them one guy's really interesting. He had a career as an engineer in radio shows. You know the old days?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of those, and he's hot. And, of course, the other guy is from the little south of Cleveland. Or he's another one who's an interesting kind of a guy with a lot of life in him. Anyway, take care.
All right, you have a good one, Bill. Bye, man.
All right.
Mr. Bill. Mr. Stress, our buddy Bill, calling from Cleveland. A little bit of an update. In my conversation with Carol earlier, we were talking about, Pappy McDaniel down in Mississippi, Stan? Yeah. His buddy that went in and photographed, you know, snuck into a nursing home and photographed the wife of Thad Cochran because, you know, to a teabagger, nothing is forbidden. Well, the wheels of justice are grinding. Clayton Kelly, who was the guy who did the nasty business, has been indicted for burglary, attempted burglary, conspiracy to commit burglary in relation to breaking into that nursing home in Mississippi, Stan, and photographing Mrs. Cochran. That was used for a political attack ad. On behalf of, you know, teabaggers. He was jailed last May after he got caught doing that. And got out on $75,000 bond, which I'm sure his teabagging friends helped out with. His lawyer is vigorously defending the innocence of Clayton Kelly, claiming, one thing that's hard that people don't understand is that certain things may not be a crime. It may not be ethical. It may not be what we think is proper, but that doesn't make it a crime. He will go on trial next March, unless, you know, strikes some sort of a plea deal. Some of the carrying on has diminished from that kerfuffle. But who knows? It may yet be that an uber-conservative Democrat would come out of that race the victor. Because the teabaggers who supported Pappy McDaniel are still right smart angry. Oh, and by the way, because we also mentioned cranky old Ron Paul, the man who, you may recall, according to a profile in the New York Times, when a boy living in Pittsburgh prior to during the Second World War, the man who thought the butcher who flouted the wartime restrictions on the sale of certain goods necessary to the maintenance and support of our military abroad. In other words, he sold meat. The butcher sold meat onto the black market, and Ron Paul thought that was a heroic act. Well, the apple falleth not far from the tree, of course. Rand Paul and that thing on his head went on the Laura Ingraham show. Because he is, after all, a libertarian ophthalmologist. And naturally, he got everything wrong. And he says that we're not doing the right thing about Ebola. I really think it is being dominated by political correctness. And I think because of political correctness, we're not really making sound, rational, scientific decisions on this. Says the guy who can't be pinned down on whether or not he thinks evolution or climate change are real. And like Louis Gohmert, he says that Barack Obama is just going to get 3,000 American troops killed by Ebola by sending them over there to protect medical workers and maintain order. Apparently, he's now also libertarian epidemiologist Rand Paul. Where is disease most transmittable? When you're in very close confines on a ship. We all know about cruises and how they get these diarrhea viruses that are transmitted very easily and the whole ship gets sick. Can you imagine if a whole ship full of our soldiers catch Ebola? never mind the fact that the virus that tends to afflict people on cruise ships is airborne and transmissible much more easily. You actually have to come in contact with bodily fluids to get Ebola, if I understand correctly. But remember, that's political correctness to say that. According to Rand Paul and that thing on his head, the right thing to do would be to get America in a full panic, a state of total incomprehensible hysteria. Maybe one in which they could use their freedom protectors to shoot the Ebola. Now, is it rational to worry about mutation of the Ebola virus? Yes, that is rational. And that's why you take the precautions that are being taken. But then again, how could the Ebola virus possibly mutate? Because that involves evolution. And these knuckle-walking freaks don't believe in that. But they still go and get their flu shot just the same. God almighty. Well, we will continue our conversation tomorrow evening with Friday on the Front Porch. I hope you'll join in. We will. Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge remains open. There is $160 to go on that. And that will be on the table, a chance to double your money, double your contribution, beginning, well, whenever you hear, well, it doesn't begin. It's already begun. It's here. And one last thing. Don't know if you do business with J.P. Morgan Chase. Randy just reminded me of this. There has been a monumental hack at J.P. Morgan Chase that affects 76 million household accounts and 7 million business accounts. It affects everyone who visited the company's websites, including Chase.com, or used its mobile app during June and July. And apparently this is deeply sensitive information that has been obtained. 83 million people affected. If you do business with J.P. Morgan Chase or know someone who does, you might want to give them a heads up. Might be a good idea to go and change a bunch of passwords, if that'll even help. So there we go. Thorn in the Side Thursday comes to an end. Thank you, one and all, who keep all of this going. Because it is you who keep this going. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Go Bunnies! Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who works constantly to keep all the streams streaming and the packets passing and the websites websiting. He'll have the horn back up, hopefully sooner rather than later. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acheact.org, acheact.org. You know, there are more than 20 studies out now that show that people in Appalachia's mountaintop removal communities are being poisoned and killed. How many more studies is it going to take? How many more people have to die before Congress pays attention? You, of course, can be a big part of making Congress pay attention by telling your Washington representatives that you not only desire, but that you expect them to support the AIC Act, H.R. 526 in the House of Representatives, and still needing to be introduced in the Senate. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, It's all for you.